Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is written in the third chapter of the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians, beginning at the first verse. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Set your sight. We all know that at the beginning of any venture, it is vitally important for us to know the goal. As we are reminded in the Gospel, you set your plans and materials before you engage in an architectural project, and you set your men of war before you go to battle. You say, in almost anything you do, you want to have a clear look at the goal as you set out toward it. And once you have set your sights, you know that an awful lot of other things have to go by the wayside. Whether it is athletics, or music, or scholarship, or whatever it might be. You know that it takes a great deal of self-discipline to arrive at the goal. We all know the story of the Gussie woman who ran up to Arthur Rubinstein after a concert and said to him, "I give my life to play like that." He said, "Madam, I have." It means to set your sight on a goal. Now, in a casual reading of this text, it would be quite simple for us to apply that to our professional life as students and teachers of theology, as those who are preparing for the pastoral office. And I could probably find a lot of educational jargon to throw around about objectives and goals and all that kind of stuff. And that might be very fitting someplace. But I think we would be missing the point if we thought that this word of our God for us today only spoke to us as we went about our professional calling as pastors. But you see, we would miss the wider context of this, that it speaks to us of our calling as God's people, as his children by faith in Christ Jesus. We are to set our sight on the things that are above and not on things on earth. And there's a reason for that. We have died, and our life is hid with Christ in God. We are to have a certain set of goals and objectives for the sanctified Christian life because of what God has accomplished in us by his grace. It was by design today that we read responsively the great Psalm of Solomon. And maybe some of you have been privileged to work through Hungary, Israel, and Egypt to think of all the choral and orchestral background that accompanies this great song of God's triumph. Well, the Lord has triumphed for us too. In our holy baptism, when we became partakers of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the way that St. Paul describes that in this letter. In him you also were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ. And you were buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses, having cancelled the bond which stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in him. And the Lord, who has triumphed gloriously in the resurrection of his Son, has triumphed gloriously in your life and in mine in holy baptism. By his grace, we who were dead in sin are alive in Jesus Christ. And it is to people who daily live by the power of holy baptism, who confirm the baptism with the word of the gospel and the holy meal of the sacrament and the comfort of absolution, that it calls out to set your sight, that your life and my life is to be different because we have gone through the labor of holy baptism, because we are God's own by grace. That involves us in a daily struggle that the old man of sin, who is ever present, needs daily to be drowned in the remembrance of our baptism and in the growth and development of the sanctified life. It has always struck me that in the scriptures we are never left to blind camp to figure out what it means to drown the old man of sin. I think there's a reason for that, because left to blind camp and to our own devices, we surely would skip all of our favorite sins as belonging to that daily exercise. But Paul could be writing for the spectrum as he pulls out the very things in which we like to wallow. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, and my, how earthy we often are. Immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Indeed, you once walked when you lived in them, but now put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and foul talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put on off the old nature with its practices, and have put on the new nature, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there cannot be Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. Again, that is not a kind of task that you and I accomplish relying on our own ability or our own sheer desire to be the kind of people we ought to be. Kind of the dumbest advice we give to one another as Christians is, be what you ought to be, as though somehow we had all that innate power by ourselves. But it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in word and sacrament that the old man can be drowned daily and the new man can assert himself to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Again, we are not left to our devices. What should the new man be doing? Because again, we would probably pick those things that we enjoy, and it do not take a great deal of effort. So the apostle writes, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, patience, forbearing one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do, word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And that, I would suggest, is plenty for us to do this day and every day as we set our sight, set our minds on the things that are above. For our life is filled with Christ in God. And when Christ our Lord appears in glory, by His magnificent grace, we too shall appear with Him. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.